I wanted to go into multifamily, but as we know, it has been extremely heated market.
Yep.
And the people who have been doing multifamily have been at it for decades. And for me, it was way too competitive. So I am a big believer, and I've always been a big believer in Blue Ocean Strategy, where you go into a space where not that many have explored, and there's a lot of meat on the bone for you to, you know, take a piece as well. And that's how I came across mobile home parks.
Are you tired of trying to keep ahead in the rat race, only to have so much of your hard-earned money going to the tax collector? Equity doesn't pay the bills. Retirement savings don't pay you now, and there are only 24 hours in a day to work. The only solution is passive income that pays you 24/7 now, not 40 years from now. From vetted investment opportunities to tax saving strategies, let John guide you through all the confusion and take control of your financial life in pursuit of financial freedom. So sit back, relax, and welcome to the Wealth and Freedom Nexus.
For investors seeking DSCR financing, check out timothyhero.com. The guy has closed over 150 DSCR loans in the last 2 years and has been appearing on podcasts and written about by journalists. He's well-connected with some of the best lenders in the game and can get you the financing for your rental properties. Are you sick and tired of your day job? Do you think that there might be more to life than to live and die by the 9 to 5? If so, you are not alone. I left my safe and secure job in 2019, and since then I have met many entrepreneurs that have done the same thing. If you've enjoyed the Wealth and Freedom Nexus podcast for the educational news, tune into my YouTube channel for the inspirational stories on how you can say screw the W-2. Go to youtube.com/WFreedomNexus and look for the Screw the W-2 playlist. New episodes drop every Saturday, and later this year will be released on all popular podcast platforms. As always, this is John Rickard, investor, educator, realtor, helping you find your way to wealth and freedom. Hey, welcome back. As always, I am John Rickarn, your host, investor, educator, and realtor for the Wealth and Freedom Nexus podcast. Now, a few housekeeping things. As always, make sure to rate, review, and subscribe if you haven't already. And if you haven't already, be sure to check out my YouTube channel. You can actually go to youtube.com/WFreedomNexus and also click the bell so you always get notified of new videos as well as new YouTube shorts, which I'll be doing new content at least every week. I'm going to be trying to do daily into 2023. So, well, we'll see how well Zoom's noise cancellation works. Otherwise, my podcast editor might have her work cut out for her. Yeah. They are ripping up the street behind my office with this, you know, remodeling street, sewer, water, etc. project. We joke here in Minnesota, we have two seasons. We have winter and construction. And sure enough, last week we hopefully had our last snowfall. Sure enough, here this week, we hop right into construction. So with that, it's been over a year since I had Paul Moore back on episode 21 to talk about mobile home parks. And well, little teaser, he will be back again here in 2023. So hint, hint, nudge, nudge, be sure to subscribe if you haven't already. Now, I will admit, I've briefly looked at this space. I haven't flat out, shall we say, shunned it or not looked at it all versus like Forex trading. I have absolutely no interest whatsoever in Forex and currency trading. But mobile home parks, it wasn't really top of mind, you know, so I have been focusing more on single family, 1 to 4 units, really be getting into trust deed investing through Ignite Funding, which you can learn more about that back on episode 57. But, like I said, just kind of put it to the, side. It's like, well, maybe I'll look at this. Maybe I won't. I started talking to some more people, and I'm not going to say, yep, as of right this moment, I am diving right in with this mobile home park fund or this mobile home park syndication, whatnot. But it is definitely more in the forefront for me this year, maybe into 2024, than it was in the past. You know, you probably heard in the news a little bit. We mentioned a little bit last week with Murray, the debt buster, where the multifamily space has just been, you know, on fire for the last 3, 4, 5 years. And it's starting to kind of reach a breaking point where, you know, realistically, you just can't buy a property for a 2 cap in a 3% bridge loan and interest rate environment and expect to do any type of value add that's going to let you do a cash out refinance when rates have doubled since then and exit and return all your money to investors. And that's why there was that syndicator in Houston, Texas. It was a 3,200 unit multifamily project or building or whatever that went to foreclosure. And I think honestly, that's going to be the first of many. So thankfully, I have not put a dime in any multifamily syndications. I've probably been hit up with them at least once a week. And, you know, to be fair, there are still good ones out there. Don't get me wrong, but the returns have definitely been compressed. It just isn't the cash cow as it was even 5 years ago, really. So in fact, I even think back to the Summit on Sand that I went to with the real estate guys in Belize back in 2021. And a guy that I followed for years, Ken McElroy, he even said, and, you know, again, this is early 2021 or the summer of 2021, where he had, I want to say, around 10,000 units in the United States. And they just kind of got to the point, it's like, well, I think it's time to take a step back. I don't see really much making sense. And I don't think we're going to buy anything. And in fact, I think they did like an 80-20, you know, top down, looked at, maybe it was like 10%. Like, what were the, of all their properties, what was kind of on the bottom 10% for performing, you know, vacancy numbers and all that stuff. And they decided, you know, maybe it's just time to focus on the better ones and maybe we just sell these. And I can't even, I remember just on stage and he didn't give exact numbers, but he just said, I was astonished how much we ended up selling these properties for. I mean, he was just floored. I mean, as a buyer, he'd be like, I'd be nuts to buy the property at this rate. But as a seller, it's like, hey, if you want to overpay me by $500,000, I'll go for it. So, you know, long story short, you know, the multifamily and even the red hot single family turnkey space has really, I'd say, kind of peaked at this point. I don't think it's, you know, had a huge crash that everyone's waiting for, but the numbers just don't make as much sense as they did, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago. So with that, like I said, I'm always looking for other investments. And I think mobile home parks, you know, might entertain a, you know, in-depth look more. I might actually research a little more and probably do a site visit, you know, to an actual operator or a new manufactured home, mobile home park. And, you know, whether it's late this year, early next year, probably start dipping my toes in a little bit more. I think there is still a lot of opportunity in this. And my guest and I will go into the space of, you know, why there's more opportunity than other spaces. But, you know, let's face it, there still is the stigma of the trailer parks that, you know, I myself admit have to get over a little, and many others. You know, if you're around my age, you probably grew up watching Boy Meets World, and you may equate the trailer park as, well, it's on the wrong side of town. You know, you don't want to go over there. There's a lot of drugs or bad stuff, you know, whatnot, or it's dilapidated and falling apart. And, you know, to be fair, there is some of that. Even here in Marshall, there was a, you know, I'm going to use the term slumlord in Colorado that bought the trailer park here in Marshall. And this was probably 2017, 16, somewhere in there, and just hasn't done anything with it. It's just kind of let it go to shambles. Over the last couple of years, it's gotten so bad that the city attorney, all the way up to the attorney general, brought some lawsuits. You know, there was a, you know, fire department had to respond to some fires at some vacant mobile homes that, as I understand, were the property of the mobile home owner, but again, just didn't do anything with it. And bus routes actually stopped going there years ago because the private roads were so bad. They're just so dilapidated. And, you know, if you're in Minnesota, you and I, you know, obviously joke how bad potholes are in general around the state, you know, region, Southwest Minnesota. So for the bus route to say, hey, we are not going here at all. We're just going to pull up along the highway and not even, you know, navigate there. it's got to be pretty bad. And it was kind of comical when the owner was, you know, bashing the city. Oh, the city should be taking care of that. It's like, might want to check the regulations and zoning ordinances. Those are private roads. The rent that you are collecting from the residents and obviously just putting it in your pocket, you're not doing anything with it. That is to maintain the infrastructure, like, well, the roads, you know, the infrastructure for the mobile home park. So, you know, on that tangent, I don't know how this is all gonna, you know, play out. Last I heard, the owner was filing for bankruptcy to try to get out of the lawsuits. I'll see if I can get a couple links in the show notes to that story. But regardless, mobile home parks, or sometimes what they're called manufactured home parks, there definitely is a market. There definitely is bigger returns. And while there is the stigma, I think you'd be really surprised at the demographics that are starting to shift towards this. Just as housing affordability is such an issue nowadays, well, what might be a single family home or even apartment, you know, 700, 800, 900, 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 or more per month. Many times for a lot of retired couples, it's not uncommon to buy even a new manufactured home for a fraction of the cost of a single family home. They own it outright and they just pay a couple hundred dollars for lot rent, basically. And that might be their retirement. And it might actually be in a very nice area. You know, if you see views of it, you might just see that they're regular manufactured homes. You might not even think of it as a mobile home park. So with that, well, I've rambled enough for on this intro. I really enjoyed this talk with my guest, Charlotte, and hope you maybe get a couple educational nuggets from it as well. And maybe similar to me, maybe not look down upon mobile home parks as an investment, but maybe as an addition to your portfolio in your self-directed retirement account or even outside that. So with that, we'll get into my interview with Charlotte after a word from this week's sponsors.
Hi, everyone. Jeremy here. I do voiceover work for all kinds of projects. For example, do you need a voice for your phone greetings and call waiting services?
Or a villain in your next tabletop role-playing game?
How about a birthday message from someone who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
These are just a few examples, and there are no limits to what you can use voiceover for. Feel free to stop on by my website or just send me an email in the description below. And let's create something amazing together.
Hey, Charlotte, thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. Now, maybe for starting off for my listeners, and I read through your bio, you kind of have a, you know, before we get into mobile home park investing, you kind of have an interesting story of how you're first generation American, moved to the country from China when you're 16. Can you kind of expand on that and give us a little background on your story?
Yeah, absolutely. So hello, everyone. My name is Charlotte Dunford. So the story of how I came to America was when I was 16, I decided that I've always wanted to attend American college. So I figured the best way to do that is to go through American high school system so that I can be better prepared for all the testing and, you know, SATs and the high school system and all that good stuff. So okay. I decided to hop on a plane at 16 to go to an American high school. Oh. My parents never came with me. I pretty much selected a local school in Pennsylvania and a host family and just went. And yeah, wow. I didn't speak much English. My parents didn't speak any English. They still don't. They still live in China and they never came with me. They never really, you know, they never come here really. Okay. But I just, yeah, that's how I came to the United States at 16. Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. Interesting. So now obviously you came into a country when you're 16, you know, started in, like you said, American high school in Pennsylvania. From, you know, can you take us from that point to fast forward whenever the year was of, hey, I'm going to invest in mobile home parks.
Right. So fast forward after high school, I graduated high school too. I got into Georgia Institute of Technology. It's, you know, people call it the MIT of the South, but I would like to call MIT the Georgia Tech of the North. So one of the top engineering schools here in the South. And I started school here, majoring in industrial engineering. Soon after that, switched to business major. And graduated, took my first job as, you know, a corporate employee, like a lot of college students did. And I became a business analyst, but about a year and a half later, While I was working in my corporate job, I would be looking at deals every single day and learning about real estate every single day on my commute to work. And it was a long commute every day, 3 hours per day. So I learned about real estate. I looked at deals, you know, because if you think about it, 3 hours per day in 5 days, that's 15 hours. That's almost a full part-time job. So I did not want to get the time wasted. So I would rather learn something new. And I learned a lot about real estate, and I started buying my first property pretty much immediately. I took on that job using my salary to finance that single family home property. And then shortly after that, financed the second one using my salary for a duplex here in North Georgia. Performed really well. However, after the two, you know, as you can imagine, an out of college grad salary can't really necessarily keep up with the financing need of a commercial property, which I wanted to. So that's when I made the jump to quit my corporate job and do private equity full time. While I was exploring the options for, you know, the different vehicles of assets to invest in, you know, I wanted to go into multifamily, but as we know, it has been extremely heated market.
Yep.
And the people who have been doing multifamily have been at it for decades. And for me, it was just way too competitive. So I am a big believer, and I've always been a big believer in Blue Ocean Strategy, where you go into a space where not that many have explored, and there's a lot of meat on the bone and for you to, you know, take a piece as well. So, and that's how I came across mobile home parks and started investing in my first one. And then I met my partner by the end of 2019. And then we really started taking off in 2020 and grew from, you know, one to two mobile home parks now to 29. Transactions.
Wow, very impressive. Yeah, it's interesting you bring up the multifamily, and I know several people that share our thoughts. It's just overheated. I wish I could find the article I came across. There was a multifamily in Austin, Texas, sold for a 2 cap, and I have to chuckle. Some of these syndications, their whole pro forma is based on refinancing, pulling the cash out, you know, 1, 3, 5 years later. It's like, well, that's fine when interest rates are 2.5, but now that they're 6, 7, 8, who knows what they're going to be by the time someone's listening to this.
Yeah, currently, the market is not too hot for selling.
So now, you kind of alluded to, obviously, with mobile home parks, you know, you found less competition, a little bit more meat on the bone, you know, versus, you know, kind of the skinny margins with a lot of multifamily deals. Was there anything in addition to that, or what exactly, you know, made you really focus on the mobile home parks?
Not just the skinny margins. The margins are never really that skinny on, you know, multifamily. That's why they're hot, right? Because that investment. It's just that as someone who, you know, just started investing, you know, competing with these people who have been at it for decades, and they wouldn't even talk to you. The brokers wouldn't even talk to you if you don't have, you know, 20 deals, you know, under your belt. So that's the issue. It's not that you don't have an opportunity to get in, and instead of, oh, the margins are low. Margins are fine, is a great business. But when it comes to someone like, you know, me at the time, when I first started, it was just not a very feasible way for me to start the private equity firm. So, what attracted me to mobile home park, first of all, is that niche. It is a niche where it's been long ignored, and people have been not really looking at this niche, which gives people like me an opportunity to start in. And then it was, you know, every real estate has a cycle, right? At the time, and it's still today, is in the earlier phase of the curve, and it was not institutionalized. It was not getting consolidated. It is in the process of doing that right now. However, at the time, and still today, we still have the mom and pop operators, and they're planning out there to buy those mobile home parks and to have them meat on the bone and to make the money in the industry. So, and also, you know, it's a completely different animal. It's a different asset class. It's not multifamily. It's not single family rental. It's not vacation rental. It's
right.
The closest thing to it is a parking lot. So what you want in a mobile home park is a solid parking lot with good tenants, you know, living, well, is mobile home park. So parking in your parking lot. So you want a parking lot full of nice cars, and, you know, think about mobile home parks as cars.
Sure.
you know, responsible people taking care of their vehicles, but taking care of the homes. And the word that we use in the industry is always pride of ownership. People are proud of their homes. They're proud homeowners. They take care of their homes so they don't destroy the home and doesn't destroy the appeal of the community.
Okay. So, yeah. Yeah. I understand too, with mobile home parks, it's almost kind of like a hybrid, I would say, like where say an apartment, the tenant does not own the building nor the land. A single family home, you know, there's the land and then there's the house piece. But then mobile home park, it's like the operator owns the land that the buildings sit on, but then the individual owners actually own the individual trailers. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes. And that's what we want to get. And there are a lot of mobile home parks out there where that, you know, they're trying to sell the homes as well. And, you know, that's the kind of deal that we are trying to avoid. Or if we took out the deal, the goal is always transition away from, you know, owning the homes, because we're not in the car dealership business.
Sure.
We're in the parking lot business, and that's the real estate you want. You know, the land is the real estate where the homes sit on, and that's what you want. That's where the actual asset is.
Okay, makes sense. So now, as far as, you know, investors are concerned, you know, looking at this asset class, I kind of look at it from, how I put it, like a rock and a hard place, where, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent, there is kind of a stigma, so to speak, with mobile home parks. And at the same token, as an investor, and I know this is kind of nationwide, cities, communities, they aren't, you know, a lot of mobile home parks were developed in the 60s, 70s. And it's now like on the new EDA where, hey, we're going to develop this new apartment, we're going to do this industrial park, and oh, by the way, we're going to set the site of land to build a brand new mobile home park. So are there a lot of challenges to get in this space, or is that more of an opportunity for investors?
So investors barely build any new mobile home parks. And across the country, you barely build any mobile home parks. Like you said, it's challenging that the people, you know, to build new mobile home parks. So we're in the business to buy existing mobile home parks instead of building new ones, because mobile home park development is a totally different ballgame. And it's extremely difficult to get the zoning, permitting, and by the time that you get it ready, and the utility is the most expensive piece. By the time ready, you know, it's already a big $1 million project, and let alone that it's almost impossible to get that zoning and permitting from the city and county. And then, and obviously, for tax reasons, the cities and counties, they would rather not have a mobile home park in their county. They would rather have a commercial building. They would rather have an apartment building or office building instead of a mobile home park. However, the money is where there are existing mobile home parks and they're grandfathered in, or they're legally operating. And, you know, you show the city that, or county, that you're able to provide value to solve this affordable housing crisis in the city. And this is a problem all over the nation. And as far as, so that's kind of the deal, is not about building new ones. It's about buying existing mom and pop operating ones and turning into a value add asset. And as far as the stigma, you know, the important thing is, you know, who are your clients, right? Who are you trying to sell it to? Where do you make the money? First of all, it's the tenants. You know, tenants who live in mobile home parks, if they have pride of ownership, you know, and it's a nice mobile home park, there is a stigma related to it. But what they care about more is the inexpensive affordable housing option. So the stigma, you know, you have to think and ask yourself, does it really influence them? And in this case, you know, people who actually own a nice mobile home, it does not really influence them that much. The stigma really comes from the people who actually, you know, who would never move into a mobile home park, who are, you know, making way too much money to be buying that kind of mobile home. So, you know, so the stigma related to it doesn't really apply in this case. And the second client that you sell it to is the buyer, the exit buyer, where you sell your mobile home park to at your exit, right? So who do you sell it to? Investors. The industry as a whole, investors are getting drawn to mobile home parks. And I would say that, you know, the stigma actually gives it somewhat an appeal to investors, that it is something that, you know, that's why it's been long ignored, right? So that's where the money is. And it's been proven successful based on the sale volume, based on the price hike and the relatively low cap rate in the past couple of years. And still, you know, as the market recovers, mobile home park remains a hot commodity. And that is because investors don't care about that stigma. So as long as your clients don't care, you know, who you're selling the product to don't care, it does not affect the stigma, does not affect the profitability of an asset class as much as you think you would actually, you know, play to your advantage. Because if you have a stigma, that means that if a lot of people are not considering it,
sure,
that would be a good time for you to consider, you know, based on, you know, obviously depending on the deal. So that's what I would say about stigma.
Okay. Makes sense. So, all right. Now, and Charlotte, maybe if we can shift a little bit too, as far as if anyone, you know, let's just say they're interested in investing, but, you know, they're a full-time professional working 60 hours a week. They don't have time to vet deals or look for mobile home parks, or maybe even not even sure what to look for. Can you talk a little bit more about, you know, through your company and how investors come to you? And how that works if someone says, yep, I want to get into this asset class, but I want to be a passive investor, not an active investor.
Right. So all of our clients are passive investors and they are busy professionals, like you mentioned, top level executives, you know, and other real estate investors who, you know, have other real estate portfolio, but for mobile home parks, they don't really understand much about it. They don't have the, you know, people who don't have, you know, the time or the expertise to pursue this opportunity. And the best way to, you know, invest in mobile home parks is get to know us is to go to our website at johnscreekcapital.com. And there is an investor form, just a short contact form to fill out. And we usually, you know, we will definitely reach out within the same business day and have a conversation with us. And we'll go from there. We'll discuss your investment goals and what you're looking for and what kind of deals we're offering, deal structure, all that good detail. So, you know, for a busy professional, I think the being the passive investor or investing with us as an LP limited partner would be a good way to start investing in this asset space.
All right. And I'm going to take a shot in the dark here. I'm assuming I've had a number of conversations dealing with like self-directed retirement accounts. I'm assuming you have or do accept funds from, you know, self-directed IRAs, 401ks, et cetera.
Yes, we do. IRAs, 401k, retirement accounts, trust, LLC, you know, as long as, you know, you are accredited, or if you're not accredited, there are other, you know, if you're sophisticated, we have to stick by the SEC rules. And then that's case. We just have to have a conversation. But yes, we do accept retirement funds.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah. The whole SEC rule is just kind of as mind boggling to me. Like, I could take out a personal loan, put it in Dogecoin and lose everything, but I can't invest in a proven asset class because I'm not accredited or sophisticated.
Right.
But that's so another topic of discussion.
Though they're a lot less regulated because they're a lot newer industry, right? So, you know, in the traditional private equity, even with mobile home parks, you know, private equity in real estate, it's been a long established, you know, sector with very well regulated. That's why the rules are there. And I think that's a great thing because look at what happened to crypto last year. And because they're not regulated and that causes disaster sometimes.
Yeah. So. Although I think there's something to be said, you know, the old adage, don't put all your eggs in one basket when you hear someone putting their life savings in Celsius or take your pick. But,
you know,
yeah, another discussion.
Extremely, yeah, exactly. If you're extremely sophisticated and you understand exactly what you're doing, for example, you know, one of the most prolific investors, Warren Buffett, he goes all in when he sees an asset class. Mm-hmm. Because he understands it. If you understand something very, very well, you know, everything inside out about this industry, about this asset class, go for it. But if you don't know anything about a certain asset class,
right,
or just listening to the buzzwords thrown around and put your life savings, I don't think that's a wise decision for anyone.
Exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Well, as we wrap this up, Charlotte, again, I want to thank you for your time for coming on, educating my listeners. If there was anyone out there that, you know, maybe is still on the fence or skeptical about mobile home parks, but maybe wants to reach out, learn more about, you know, what you're doing, upcoming projects, what's the best way to reach out to you?
Yeah, the best way to reach out to me is at our website at johnscreekcapital.com, or you can email me directly at cdunford@johnscreekcapital.com. I'm sure you put it in the show notes, but yeah. You know, we hold regular monthly webinars, and you know, every webinar we have a new topic on mobile home parks and how to evaluate and how to, you know, what to look out for. So those are very educational. I think I invite all the listeners to attend, to register, and, you know, talk to me. So.
All right. Sounds good. Yes. And again, for all those listening, walking the dog, working out, driving or whatever, you know, don't try to fumble for a pen and paper. This will all be the show notes for you to access later. So Charlotte, thanks again for coming on the show. And I appreciate your time and expertise in this.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for having me. Pleasure.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to share, rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. For more updates, check out www.wealthandfreedomnexus.com. Remember, nothing on this show should be considered tax, legal, investment, or professional advice. This show is produced solely for educational and informational purposes. Please consult an appropriate and licensed tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for specific advice for your situation. For distribution or publication rights or media interviews, please contact the host.